Perhaps the most controversial topic of discussion in our day revolves around truth. Opinions often blur the lines of an objective truth. Streaming platforms, social media, and other public forums allow individuals to project their truths upon the masses like never before.
In the midst of woke, cancel culture, religious freedoms, political liberties, and social injustice, we attempt to search for and reveal the truth. This is Truth Revival.
And we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Truth Revival. My name is Roman Hamilton. On this chilly morning, I've got Mr. Nationwide in the studio. Paul, how you doing?
I'm good, brother. You?
I'm doing well.
Juan and I were talking about the snow in the parking lot with Randy Waring.
I don't know about the snow, but I know I've had to battle the wind here lately.
Listen, man. That wind got brutal yesterday. I was eating lunch with Juan, and my wife calls me almost in tears. Can you come home? And I'm like, what? And she's like, the trampoline's in the neighbor's chicken coop. So, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Obviously, our listeners will be hearing this episode later. But right now, it is January the 13th, and everybody will remember the wind that we've had to battle, and in the upcoming week, it's going to be the cold.
Yep.
So everybody loves wintertime.
Got to be liquid to live in this world, right?
Is what it is. Is what it is. But I digress. With us today, we've got the one and only Mr. Juan Garcia, right?
Thank you for having me, guys.
Welcome to the show, Juan. Now, you said this is your first time, right? So we're going to go easy on you when it comes to podcasting.
Yes. To anybody that hasn't been here at the Truth Revival podcast, this place is legit.
All right.
This is way more than I expected. It's awesome.
Well, cool.
It's Roman. He's the king. He's the king of technology. I was going to say techno, but technology.
I was doing that the other day. Boots and pants and boots and pants.
Yep.
So, Paul, you and Juan have had a bit of a relationship for, you know, the past several years. And,
yeah.
You know, Juan, in my opinion, Señor Lopez is the best Mexican grill that I've ever been to. Now, Thank Juan, you. you have to know a little bit about my history. When it comes to trying new things, I'm not one to try new things.
Oh, and,
surely not. You know, like when it came to like places to eat, you know, going to you know, a Mexican restaurant was not on my list. Until we started going to Señor Lopez.
Well, I'm glad we were able to do that for you.
But you guys, y'all have you know, wonderful food there, great service, great staff, and we're so happy that you guys are in your new facility now.
Thank you. We are ecstatic about it.
Yep.
So, Paul, tell us a little bit about how you and Juan met.
Well, we just we met at the restaurant, really, and just kind of hit it off. And I've always, when new people come to town, I know a lot of people are standoffish because a lot of people here don't like change. I mean, let's just be real. They don't like change. And I mean, in my line of work, I deal with new people that move here all the time. And it's amazing how when your parents raise you, when they raise you to be welcoming and they raise you to be friendly, and just to be available to people and put out a hand of kindness. And the Bible says if you're friendly, you'll have many friends. So I just always try to be friendly and welcoming, and you know, and if my spirit agrees with your spirit, and just take it from there. And when I first met Juan, I could tell he was a great dude. And I knew from the beginning that he's the kind of guy that I would want in my circle. He's the kind of guy that I could become friends with and do business with or whatever needed to be done. You're that kind of guy.
Thank you.
And
thank you,
when they came here, we started going down for trivia and some other things. And I mean, it's like Juan's been here his whole life. You know, it's like he's part of the family. He's part of the crew in Telco Plain. If Juan wasn't in Telco, Telco wouldn't be the same.
Mm.
You know, so that's my take on it. You were talking about you didn't like Mexican food until you went to Señor Lopez. we'll be like, if we go somewhere and we don't eat, if we're in Knoxville or Maryville or wherever, and we'll be coming back through, because I lived in Massville for a long time, you know, so we'd always go to, remember, Fuentes and all the, yes, and the place out, yes, there. We'd always go eat Mexican in Massville. But this is a testament to Senior Lopez. We'll be coming through, and about Vaughn Orr or Sweetwater, I'll say, I'm hungry. And she'll say, well, what do you want? I said, I don't know. What do you want? And she'll say, I think I want Mexican. I'm like, where do you want to go? And we'll be in Sweetwater or Vaughn Orr, you know, 30 minutes. She goes, let's go to Senior Lopez. You know, so we'll pass them all to come home to eat, you know. So Come home for dinner, right? That's a slogan. So
speaking of, when we were doing the promotions for you guys, Juan, Paul said, come home for dinner at Senior Lopez. I thought, did he just come up with that? Or is that y'all's slogan? Is that
No, you guys, thank you. You, because we, you know, we were thinking about it for a long time. We wanted something to stick, something, you know, that you just a nice slogan, but nothing too off the wall, you know, something people would like to remember and share within the family and stuff like that. And I remember when y'all put together that commercial, I was like, wow, that's I don't know where you came up with that slogan, Paul, but it's fantastic. And now you see it on all of our posts. It's on our menu. It's everything. You know, we've just adopted it. So thank you. We might owe you something for that. You know, you pay companies to come up for that.
Here's a little peek behind the curtain there, Juan. I remember when we recorded that, and I kind of just got it started, and we turned Mr. Nationwide loose, and he just went. That was off the cuff. He didn't have a script. He just did that in like two or three takes. And I was like, man. So yeah, you can thank Paul. Paul's the man for that. But we're glad to help and glad to partner with you. So Juan, I guess a question that I've always wanted to ask you, and some of our listeners probably would like to ask you, is how did you find Teleco? We're just this little podunk town in the corner of East Tennessee. How did you find Teleco?
So Teleco kind of found us, in a way, you could say. My cousin, she used to own the building that we were in, as far as where Senior Lopez used to be, El Jackal. Some people might remember. Yeah. And so she's got another El Jacal, is how you pronounce it, but it's spelled El Jackal. And she runs the one in Sweetwater. Anyway, having both was just a little bit too much, so she was looking to sell the location here. And I was living in Kansas at the time. I was looking for just any reason to move back. Tennessee's home. This is where I was raised. And so she was kind of spreading the word within the family that she was looking to sell. And her brother's like, hey, man, you want to team up and, you know, take this over for my sister? And I was like, yes. Anything that gets me back into Tennessee, let's do it. And there was a lot of great opportunities. I had a lot of good experience up there in Kansas. I was with family as well. That's where I learned the ropes of how to run a Mexican restaurant. But just being closer to my parents and closer to home, couldn't beat it. And yeah, so I was like, where is it? And he's like, it's a place called Teleco Plains. And I looked up all the demographics, and I kind of had an idea of the population that you needed for a restaurant to, you know, for it to be profitable, and, you know, just some numbers here and there, given my previous experience. And I look, and the town, like, is registered with, like, 871 people.
Yes.
And I'm like, look, man, I really want to move back to Tennessee, but I don't know if that small of a town is going to do anything for us. You know, I was working at a kind of a small restaurant, and the population there was like 3,000. And it wasn't like, you know, huge. You know, I thought it was a very small town. It was, you know, I like small towns, but the restaurant wasn't making, which we're not looking to be millionaires or anything, but it was getting by. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, with less than half of the population that I'm working with now, I don't know if it's worth the investment. Anyway, long story short, we prayed about it, and then COVID was here, and I was like, definitely no. And then, but you know, me and my wife talked and talked and talked, and I talked to people that are really close to me, mainly my parents, and we just prayed and thought. And I mean, I lost sleep over it for about 2 weeks before, you know, making the decision. And I was like, this is the thing to do. I was like, let's do it. And my wife's like, are you about it? She's like, I told you, you know, she's wonderful. She really is, you know, a rock in my life. And she's like, whatever you want to do, let's do it. But let's do it, you know, full force.
All in.
You know,
yeah.
Don't be looking back. I was like, all right. And then here we are. And, you know, I'm really glad we did it.
Yeah.
Well, man, we are so glad that you did as well. Our community has been blessed to have you, your family. Not only do you guys have the best Mexican restaurant in town, but also you have been a pioneer, I guess, in different avenues. You've been working like different. I saw you involved with something that like People's Bank on the board. You know, you're involved in a lot of different community events, and just about every time there's somebody catering a meal, it's from Senior Lopez.
Yes. Yep.
And so we've been blessed. A lot of people been hiring us for caterers and stuff like that. Something that I wasn't familiar with, but Christian, my other business partner, was. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do it. You know, it was just outside of my comfort zone. And then now we're just for anything and everything. And it's great. You get to meet a lot of people and you get to be involved in, like you said, in all the events that are going on. And it opens a lot of doors for you, making those connections, that growing that networking circle. But yeah, it's been fantastic.
That's one of the things that when God puts that calling on your life, or He anoints you with being a leader or instrumental or a pioneer per se in any line or avenue of work you do, it's amazing to watch how He takes you from where you are. Like, you were in Kansas, right? A population of 3,000. We don't even have a third of that here. That restaurant's barely getting by, like you said, or just making it. And you're like, am I going to move? This is the supernatural hand of God. Am I going to move to a town with 800 people and try to have a family and raise my family here when it won't support what we're doing? But look at this. This is how awesome the Lord is. You take a leap of faith because you go sleepless for 2 weeks. That's Him saying, dealing with you about, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to follow me and trust me, right? Mm-hmm. So you come here and you become part of the community. And like Roma said, about every meal you go that's catered is Senior Lopez. People are coming to your restaurant. People are going there. If the school needs a sponsorship or this needs done or this needs done, you're always involved in the community. And that's what God has called men that have this mantle put on them, that are leaders, that people want, look up to, people follow. And you're one of those guys. People look up to you. People want to be like you because the anointing that God's put on your life, man. And that's what's so awesome, that you're leading the charge in that. You're in a handful of men in this town that when something needs to be done, what will Juan do? What's Juan going to say? Listen to what the scriptures say in Luke chapter 6, verse 30. It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." So what you're sowing and what you've given to this community and to the people of this community is being given back to you not to say you're just this great blessed guy, but it's evident and it's visual to see what He's done in your life.
And well, and talking about, you know, whatever you give shall be given back to you. When we first started getting involved in all that, it does, you know, it comes from a good place. I was like, we're already here. We said we're going to do this, you know, full force, head on. This is where I'm going to grow a family. This is where my kids are going to come up. And I've always, my dad's fantastic. Both of my parents are great. And I always love going somewhere. And they're like, you know, you meet someone that's older. They're like, who are you? And I'm so-and-so. Who's your parents? And I would tell them, okay, my dad is, you know, Juan Garcia. Oh, okay, I know who you are. And I was like, I want that for my kids. I want them to go somewhere, and they meet someone, or they see someone, or they need something. And they're like, yeah, my dad's so-and-so, or my mom is so-and-so. Oh, okay, I know who you are.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, this is a good way to go about it. Anyway, so we, like you said, we try to be involved and help out the community. We're here. We want to be good to it. I want my kids to grow up here and hear about the things that we've done. But, you know, fast forwarding, I remember when we started doing the Teleco Spirit Tuesdays, I was talking to Ms. Parker, and I was like, hey, would y'all be okay or be willing to put this? You know, they have to vote on it and put it on the city hall, like financials that we're going to be, you know, donating money to them from sales that we made on Tuesdays. And she's like, yeah, definitely. So they got it passed. And I was like, you know, we just want to do good. We want to be involved. And, you know, I know everything that goes around comes around. So we want to put so much good out there that when it comes back around, when it comes to our time, we're just going to receive that much back. And I just said it just to, you know, just wasn't thinking anything major of it. I was like, it's not like when it comes back around to us, we're going to get $1 million or we're going to get this or that. Well, anyway, the fire happens.
Yes.
And then the response that we got, and I would keep on going back to that conversation and remember what I would tell her, you know, when it comes back to us, we're just going to have that much more coming back because we're going to put so much good out there. And the response was just immense. And like I said, I didn't say it to foreshadow anything, but it was just overwhelming. And we were just filled with joy and people would bring stuff like that up. And I'm like, you know, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with just selflessly, you know, doing something.
Yeah.
And you don't expect anything back. That's how things should be done. The Bible says, you know, don't let the right hand know what the left hand does and things like that. And so, yeah, I mean, we've just been blessed. It's just been an incredible experience. Like you said, it really was a leap of faith. And like we said, you know, we put it all in his hands. We left it all up to him. No looking back. You know, just like it says in the Bible, when Lot and his wife were supposed to leave Sodom and I don't know how you say
Gomorrah. Yeah.
I know most of these in Spanish. I read the Bible in Spanish, so I'm trying to translate as I go. And she looked back and got turned into a statue of salt, but you know, he just kept going forward, and that's been our mentality. You know, don't just go.
Yeah. I remember when and that was what I was going to touch on next is the fire. It was on a Sunday night, was it not?
It was on a Wednesday
night. On a Wednesday night. And I remember waking up and they're like, Senor Lopez burnt down. And I'm like, well, my first thing out of my mouth was, is everybody okay? Because, you know, you guys were.
Yeah, we lived upstairs.
You were living upstairs. I was like, is everybody good? And they're like, yeah. And then as soon as I found out everybody was good, I was in my mind, I thought, are they going to stay or go? Because, I mean, without the restaurant, how are you going to live?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it didn't, not only did it take your home, it took your way of life, you know, the thing that feeds you, you know,
exactly.
In the natural. But in the supernatural, we know God's got it all under control. Mm-hmm. So the fire happens, and then the next thing I know, you got a tent up there, you got a food truck, and you're serving out of the food truck, and then you rent this little building beside it, you know, just to keep things going. And I mean, I always respected you and thought that you were a good dude, but when that happened and you had enough grit about, whew, glory to God, mm-hmm. when you had enough grit about you to stare that in the face and say, all right, we've been dealt a bad hand, but we're going to do what we got to do to make it. And the community just rallied around you because here's the thing. The town knows what they have in the Garcia family. That's a testimony to who he is. The town knows what they have in the Garcia family to the point the town was willing to do whatever it took to keep y'all here.
And they did.
Yeah.
They did. That's exactly what crossed our minds is, you know, what are we going to do next? And like you said, the business is what got us here. The restaurant's what keeps us here. You know, that's obviously it's grown more than that. We're too invested and we've grown too many relationships to think about going anywhere else. But when it happened, it's like, well, you know, my parents live in Middle Tennessee, 3 hours away. It's not, you know, that was a very feasible option. And I was like, you know, I think that's what we're going to do. But then we started receiving, you know, all this love and people, you know, donations and just people were feeding us and giving us things. And I was like, man, we can't just up and leave. You know, rebuilding was always in our, you know, what we were going to do. That was always in our plans. But in the meantime, because it took, you know, over a year to get rebuilt, we could have, you know, gone and waited for it to get rebuilt and done that. But I was like, no, we can't just up and take all these donations. You know, people are raising money and holding fundraisers. It's like, oh, thank you very much. You know, you'll see it eventually. We'll be back. Thank you. And I was like, no, that's just not the way to go about it. So, and a lot of things happened in between. So obviously my wife and I mainly prayed and talked. And I talked to my parents and they were like, yeah, you know, if moving, you're always welcome to move back in with us while everything gets done. You know, it'll be easy to find a job. Yeah, I've got a uncle that runs a hardscaping company, and I've worked with him before. And, you know, we could have. And I was like, no, let's explore another option. And some people started floating around the idea of a food truck. And that was also in the back of my head. Well, we started looking that up and looking. And it was really hard to find any. So we find one. We find a used food truck, which is the one that we have in Clarksville, Tennessee. Like, all of these are like in Texas and Florida, and they've become even harder to find now. So we find it, and I'm like, throughout this whole thing, I was like, this is one thing that's going to define me. Like, I just knew it. And it was really cool. And a lot of it came from the calmness of, you know, of knowing the word and reading the Bible and knowing that you've always got someone there that, like Paul said, God has it. Like, you just got to put it in his hands. And I'm like, man, this is going to be something that I look back and I tell my kids about.
Yes.
And it's just going to be like, how I confront the situation now is going to be defining. I was like, let's knock it out of the park. You know, let's make it happen. Let's be big about it. And anyway, we find it. And I call the guy and we work something out. And I set up the day to go get the food truck. And, you know, everything's great. From the donations and some money that we had saved up, I had enough to give him like half to three quarters of the food truck. He's like, yeah, I guess that'll work, you know, and then I'll hold the title till you get me the rest of it, but you'll be able to take it. And everybody's so happy. The workers, everybody's ecstatic. It's going to happen. And I'm supposed to go get it the next day. And so we were living in Sweetwater with my cousin at that point in time. So we drive that night, and I've already called my dad. I'm like, hey, I'm going to be there tomorrow, and I'm going to need to borrow a hitch, and I'm, you know, this is what's happening, and it's going to be fantastic. So I'll never forget. I still get a little choked up remembering. We're in Walmart getting some stuff because, you know, just on a daily basis, we're just kind of buying what we need. We don't really want to go out and buy a bunch of stuff that we're going to have to carry around and move and deal with later. So we're just kind of being very prudent with what we get. And I remember I'm standing in the men's clothing section, and the guy sends me a message. And he says, hey, my wife is having second thoughts about selling the trailer. We're going to hold off. And, you know, down the line, if we decide to sell and you're still looking, we'll talk again. And I just felt broken.
Mm.
And I was like, we had all these things. You know, we're trying to get going again. We've already gone through some hard stuff, and, you know, we're really happy, and this was great. And then I get that message, and I'll never forget. It was like 10:15, and I'm standing right there, and I just don't know what to do. So we get back in the truck, and we're headed home, and I break my wife the news. I was like, hey, guess what happened? She's like, what? The guy sent me a message. They're backing out of the deal. And she's like, no way. I was like, yeah, I mean, it just happened. And I just felt awful. She's like, well, what are you going to do? You're going to tell the guys, or, you know, gonna let anybody know? I was like, no, we'll let it play out. We'll see what tomorrow brings. Mm. And I remember the very first thought that came into my head was when God was talking to Moses about getting the Israelites out of Egypt. And he says, I'm going to change the Pharaoh's mind. You go talk to him tomorrow. You go tell him you want to lead your people out. And he's going to say yes. And which, of course, later he changes his mind to no, and it goes back and forth. But the thing that kept going to my head is, he can do that.
Yeah.
He can do that. You're never just confined to your situation. God works in abnormal ways, and you know, his ways are not like ours. And that's the very first thing that came to my mind. Anyway, we got home, and I was searching, you know, trying to find plan B, trying to figure it out. And eventually got to be like 4:30 in the morning, and I was like, God, I can't do this anymore. This is in your hands. I don't have the answer, and I don't have to have the answer. Just let me get some rest, and we'll see what your plans are for tomorrow. And I had an appointment the next day with one of the insurance adjusters, and so we're driving to that meeting there at the restaurant to give it a look and talk about what the insurance is going to do and stuff like that. And it's like 9:13. I had the meeting at 9:15, so 9:13 I'm pulling into the parking lot, and the guy sends me another message. Hey, we've slept on it. My wife is definitely willing to sell. If you're going to come pick up the trailer today, it's yours. And I was like, wow.
Wow.
It was, I mean, talk about just, I mean, 100% faith. And just, like I said, I didn't try to talk him back into selling it to me. I didn't, you know, I wasn't like, I'll give you this much more of this. I was just like, I left it alone. Yeah. If it's not meant to be, then don't let it be. And then if it is, then let it be. And we left it at that, and I'll never forget. We're pulling in. I had just picked up some coffee at the Pride, and I looked back at my wife, and I was like, guess what? She's like, what? It's happening. And so, you know, nobody knew the story. I didn't want to tell any of the workers and the employees about it at that point in time. I didn't really want to delve into it. I told them about it later, but it was like, it was one of those moments where you think you've gone through it and you don't think you're going to face anything else, kind of like in life. It's like, oh, I already went through a hard time in life and I made it through. Great. You know, we're going to cruise through this. No, there's going to be, you know, not constant, but there's more obstacles. There's always going to be, and it's all about, I carry this, this is my screensaver, and I carry this one in English, so this one will be easier to read. No, I lied. It's in Spanish. Anyway, it says, gold, which is of this world, is purified by fire. Just like that, your faith, which is much more valuable than gold, will also be tried by the trials of this earth to see if they are worthy of glory and honor when Jesus reveals himself. So that was kind of butchered. That was a very bad translation.
I think that's 1 Peter 1:7, right?
Let's see.
Paul looked that up. 1 Peter 1:7?
Yeah. 1 Peter 1:7.
Yep. Got you. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
So what happens during the fire, that gold is burned away of all the impurities. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. And our faith is the same way. I mean, one, I think that some people have the misconception is that when we come to faith in Christ and when we begin following the Lord, that everything is like butterflies and rainbows.
Cookies and cream.
Cookies and cream. You know, that it's just, everything is good. And, you know, some people think, well, God works all things for good. And so everything's going to have to be splendid or wonderful. And I'm always going to have great experiences. And God is working for me. And yeah, I mean, that is true to a certain extent. But I think sometimes that the Lord, it's in God's nature to lead his people to places that they've never been.
Yeah.
And when we go through the valley of decision, or when we go through obstacles, when we go through challenges, God is strengthening us. It's not that he's just there to bail us out of every one of our problems, but he's there that in these moments of adversity, in these moments of suffering, do we depend on ourselves or do we depend on him?
Yeah.
Do we seek the world's method for solving the solution, or we say, God, I need your help.
Yeah.
And when we fall on the Lord, when we seek the Lord, when we humble ourselves and turn to him, man, that's when God begins to strengthen us. Yes. That's when God begins to pour out a blessing upon his people. And one, there was something I wanted to say to you about, you know, what you went through. You said that this was like a defining moment.
Mm-hmm.
I have felt that way in my life. There'll come a time whenever I'm able to back off the throttle, but it's not now.
Yeah.
There's work to be done. We've been met with adversity. We've been met with obstacles. And I look at scripture as inspiration to say, if God can do it for them, he can do it for us. Yeah. If God can deliver them, he can deliver us. If God can make a way for them, he can make a way for us. And so scripture inspires me to the faithfulness of God. And, you know, I just want to encourage you, man, and all of our listeners out there, we are all met with opposition and we are all met with resistance in our world. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, when you put on that whole armor, and again, this ancient armor that it would have been speaking of, it is intended to protect from the front. As long as you're facing the enemy, you've got armor and you're protected. But when you turn, and run in fear, you are now exposed, right? Because there's no armor in the back. There's no protection in the back. And so don't run in fear. God's got this. And Juan, I just wanted to thank you for modeling that, because you're a young man, and like I said, it takes a lot of resiliency and a lot of strength to bounce back when it just seems like everything's falling apart. So kudos to you.
Thank you,
Paul. What do you got anything to say about resistance? You got anything to say about resiliency?
Just the way you respond, you know, and we can respond in so many different avenues and ways. And when you respond in faith, you know, I mean, faith is the evidence, or the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, when that thing's standing, you're standing there looking at it and it's just a heap of ashes. I mean, it's hard to visualize what you have now. I mean, you got a great building, you got a great place, you know, it's beautiful. It's hard to see that in those trying moments. And you were talking earlier, and I thought about this, Psalms 127. You know, when you were dealing with the food truck, going back and forth, are we going to get it? Are we not going to get it? This scripture came to my mind. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Listen, man. We can try to do these things on our own, but it's vanity. It is in vain that you rise up early and go to late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. Listen, it would be really, I am the king of this, so I can sit here and tell you this. I am the king of anxious toil. Man, something goes down, something goes wrong, I'm freaking out. You can ask my wife. I get on her nerves so bad, bro. I promise you I do, because I'm just, you know, why is this, why? I'm constantly asking why. But here's the thing about it. I struggle in that area, so I need men like you to see and to glean from and to be a part of my life, because I can say, hey, I saw Juan deal with this. He put his faith in you. This is being a witness to the community and to other men and women. He put his faith in you, and he got through it. I guarantee you it wasn't easy at night when you were home alone, you and your wife and your family, and you're like, what are we going to do, blah, 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 this, blah, that. But every morning you got up, you put your pants on, you put your boots on, you went out the door saying, you got me. And by saying you got me, you continue to walk forward, like Roman said. You continue to meet it head on. You continue to go. And it says, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Mm. And you do not sleep unless you have peace. Mm. You do not sleep unless you say, hey, you got this. I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to be anxious. And the Bible says to be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known to God. And the God of peace will guard your heart and mind. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Amen.
Juan, you got anything to respond to that?
Yeah, so I was just the same way, what Paul was talking about, being anxious and trying to have an answer and trying to figure it out. That was me. That was 100% me. And same thing, my wife also drove her crazy. And we had to have a plan B and C, always, always. And it was very, you know, very nerve-wracking. And I didn't like that about me. And I knew it was something that needed to change. And of course, I would read in the Bible and the scripture, that like what Paul just talked about. But I just couldn't get it out of my system. Mm. Anyway, when we were faced with this, and there really, I didn't have an answer. There wasn't. Nobody really could tell me, hey, this is what you are going to do. You know, I learned to kind of let things go. And every morning, and I remember, a lot of people won't believe it, but I was never, after things kind of started going, and I saw that everything was going to kind of, not solve itself, but everything had a solution, and I didn't have to be the person with that solution. I don't remember being, you know, overwhelmed through this whole experience. Like, I remember we said we're gonna do a certain set of prayer and stuff like that every night, and we did it. It's been over a year now that we've been doing it every single night, and it was wonderful. Everything just kind of started working. Obviously, you've got to put work in on your end and do things that you've got to do. But as far as getting the big problems solved and racking your brain over what plan B and C is going to be if something doesn't work out, that ended. And I've just kind of learned to let things kind of work out and look to the Lord when it gets difficult and there's no clear path forward. And like I said, when we're going through this, I was like, well, you know, we had the tent going and it was really hot. And, you know, I was like, this isn't really sustainable. And the wind and the rain and all this crazy East Tennessee weather, I was like, you know, something's got to give. I don't know if we can be like this for as long as it takes to get rebuilt. And my wife was one day was like, hey, maybe this building here next door, have you thought about talking to whoever owns it? Maybe see if they want to rent it. I was like, well, all the space are already leased. But, you know, let me reach out to some people. So anyway, I got a hold of the lady that rented it, Ms. Jill. And I was like, hey, I gave her a call just out of the blue. Hey, you know, we've been thinking about maybe leasing the space out for you know, providing some dining. Because being out here on this tent, I remember we got hit with a storm one day with winds kind of like they were just yesterday. And everything got blown away into those bales of hay that are across the street, across Bank Street, yeah. We're picking up stuff everywhere. And that really broke down our morale. And but we got it all put back together and we're like, we're going to have to figure something out. Anyway, like she came up with this idea. This building has been there this whole time, like staring us in the face. Never occurred to any of us like, hey, we should move in next door. No, we were just under the tent. And she's like, you know, Try to see if that's something that's feasible. So we did, and you won't believe the answer that I got from Ms. Jill. She's like, Juan, I have been praying these past couple days about whether it's time to, you know, move on from this business. This was never intended to be a long-term thing. It was just kind of a hobby, just something to do. And I've been praying, you know, is today the day? Is this the time that I need to just kind of, you know, settle on up and move on? And you have just answered my prayer. She's like, we're going to clean out this weekend and it's yours from there on out. And I just couldn't believe it. Wow. Just like that. You know, I was willing to work with her. I was like, just let us borrow it, you know, 3 or 4 days out of the week from you. We'll move in and out. Just something to make it a little more accommodating for people that want to come over and eat. But no, I didn't need to do any of that. I just offered and it got taken up and that was that. So coming back full circle to you know, to what you were saying as far as resilience and putting full faith in the Lord and not having to lean on your own understanding, just like it says in the scripture. It was proven time and time again. And I was like, I can't ignore this. I can't not pour myself completely into the Lord. And now, you know, I'll get asked a question and I'll just be like, I don't know, you know, one foot in front of the next. We don't know what, you know, 3 months or a year, 20 years is going to look down the line or what any one solution for this question that you have may be, just a step at a time. I mean, just do. When you don't know where to start, just start. You know, just put one foot in front of the next and it works out, especially if you're doing it, putting full faith in the Lord. But yeah, that really helped out as far as what Paul was talking about, you know, losing sleep and trying to have everything figured out or trying to understand everything. You learn that you don't have to understand everything and that you don't have to have the solution, which of course I still struggle with it. And yeah. Owning a business, you still want to know what's going to happen if you have a leak, or you still want to know what's going to, you know, who you're going to call if this happens or if that happens. So it's still there. It's still there, but to a lesser extent than what it used to be.
Definitely.
So in church circles and, you know, this is what believers will say a lot of times. They'll say, pray that God would open a door. And one, you have shared two examples right here of God opening doors of opportunities for you. And this is something I have been wanting to read out of Proverbs. It's Proverbs 21. It says, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hands of the Lord. He turns it whichever way he wishes. You know, we talked about how God guides and God leads. The enemy may say, not today, but God can change that. God can change people's hearts. And the answer may be no today, but maybe yes tomorrow. Through prayer and seeking the Lord, every man's way is right in his own eyes. But it's the Lord who weighs and examines the heart.
Yes.
So what I want to encourage our listeners out there, if the answer today is no, keep praying. The answer may not be no. It may be wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
Because his timing is perfect.
Yes.
Now, if the ultimate answer is no, then guess what? That may be God saying, hey, this is not the direction that you need to go. So I want to encourage our listeners out there, if you're being met with resistance, if you're being met with opposition, pray and seek the Lord. God can tear down those Jericho walls. Just stay faithful. But if it's not in God's plan for you to go in that direction, pray and seek the Lord. He will lead you in a path of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yes.
The psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me.
Yep.
Amen. And, you know, one, I hope that you will be able to share that sentiment. You know, your family walked through catastrophic loss of a fire, but you know what? The Lord was with you. And yes, now here you are on the other end.
On the other end, it's incredible looking back where you are now. Where we are now and looking back to see everything that happened, but we were truly blessed through it all. I can't, you know, I wouldn't change anything about it. And looking back at it, I remember when I was standing there looking at the building on fire just across the street. We were standing there on Mickey's land, and I felt a calm over me when we were watching it happen. You could call it the shock of the event, but I just remember this calm, and I was like, it begins, you know, this is, you recognize it as a trial. You recognize, like you said, you know, pray one way, you know, pray that God gives you an answer. Just what you're doing isn't necessarily always going to be the path that he wants for you. Just because you're in it doesn't mean that's what the Lord wants for you. And that was one of the things that we would talk about a lot, that my wife and I would pray about a lot. Maybe we're not, you know, supposed to be here anymore. Maybe we were, you know, but now maybe we're not. We've got a child now, which I'll share this fun fact with you. The building burnt down May 11th, 2021. And my youngest son, Juan, is born. I mean, the building burnt down May 11th, 2022. My son is born May 12th, 2023. So we wake up 1 year before to the reality of the fire. And we wake up the following year to a new child. So isn't that incredible?
It's awesome. Amen.
But yeah, we would pray that he would lead us one way or another. When I was telling you about that storm that hit us right before I spoke to Miss Jill, that was the one thing that was in my mind. I was like, Lord, if you don't want me here, just tell me. You know, it's getting really hard to go through this. I mean, just tell me, hey, you need to leave. Hey, this is not, you know, what you were meant to do. Just tell me, instead of sending me all these symbols. But, you know, of course, just like Jesus spoke in parables, you know, God kind of shows you. He's not always going to come out and tell you, this is the answer. This is the way. You know, he kind of wants you to figure it out. And you, just like we were talking about, he'll test your faith to cure it from all impurities. And we're still here, so I'm guessing this is where he wants us to be.
Well, brother, we're thankful for you, for your family, for getting rooted in Tellico Plains. This is where I'm at. I don't plan on going anywhere. Chappie, I know that you're rooted and grounded in Tellico Plains.
I'm in for the long haul.
That's it. I mean, that's me. And one, my desire is for Christ to be glorified in all things. I'm in the school system, working with kids, teaching kids, coaching kids, ministering in the community. I want to be a beacon to share the gospel of Christ, that there's hope in Jesus Christ, that there's salvation, that there's salvation in no other name but Jesus Christ. And that's my prayer, is just to be used of the Lord. And I hope that you men also are like that, because we all talk about how evil the world is and how wicked the world is.
Right.
Well, there's got to be somebody that's willing to make a difference. And I'm going to try to make a stand for the Lord. You know, I want to try to stand for what's right and do what's right, and hopefully be a leader in this community, and a change for good. So, but, you know, even if, see, this is the thing, you know, I can have all those plans and all those efforts, but if it's not in God's plan, it ain't going to work. So I just pray that in all things that the Lord would be glorified, that God would build the house.
Yes.
That God would make a way. And there's been times, like even in the church right now, one, you know, me pastoring, you know, sometimes people think, well, you're doing things for the Lord. It's all going to work out. It's all going to be good. That's not true.
Yeah.
There are even times, like even right now, pastoring and ministering, there are hardships. Yeah. And so you just pray, Lord, I just, what would you have us to do? What's the direction in my family? You know, my wife, there's times that things are not always good. And so it's like, you know, how do we continue to love one another? For our kids, you know, they're not always doing what they're supposed to. And so in all things, we acknowledge the Lord, and he's going to direct our path.
Yes.
You know, life is just, it's full of ups and downs, but we just keep our eyes focused on him. So, Juan, you got any closing thoughts or anything that you might want to say before the end?
Well, you know, since we're here reaching such a large audience, especially most people here in Telugu, I mean, thank you. Thank you to everybody that has helped us stay here, be here, continue to be a part of this community. We have been welcomed. We have been met with nothing but welcome arms ever since we first set foot here. So, you know, to everybody that's been a part of that, that's made this such an enjoyable experience. We are definitely in it for the long haul as well. We don't see us going anywhere. Like I said, I want my children to grow up in this wonderful Jesus loving community. And just a big thank you to everybody. And I really appreciate you guys having me.
It's awesome.
Now, I'm pretty sure we've already made arrangements to come down Wednesday for trivia. I'm sorry, Monday for trivia.
Monday.
Right. Yeah, we got that championship bell.
That's what it's, we thought. So we're going to come down Monday.
Yeah, I think Monday night. Yeah, we're in it because we don't have basketball until Tuesday.
So
we're coming Monday.
We'll see you Monday. So,
exciting.
So Paul, close us out, brother.
It was amazing, Juan, when all that happened that Rafi and Diego and Manny and April and Alexis, they all stayed.
Yes.
You know, it would have been easier for them to say, hey, man, I'm out of here.
It would have, especially with them being, you know, having families and having bills and having, but they saw it through, and I'm blessed. You know, I didn't give them a shout out, but I'm blessed with the crew that we're surrounded with. Yeah. You know, Jesus surrounds you with good people, and he definitely has me.
Yeah, definitely. And they believe in you, or they wouldn't stay. You know, that's a testament to who you are. I love them. I swear, Diego and Rafi and Manny, and I'm like, those are my guys, man. When I say, what's up, boys? You know, so I love
them. They're a good crew.
They're good guys. Let me leave you with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and if you have nowhere to go this evening, come down to Senor Lopez on Mecca Pike. Come home for dinner. I promise you, you'll leave full and satisfied.
Amen.
Yeah, man, it's a warm, welcoming place, full of hospitality. I wanted to talk about hospitality.
That's true.
So maybe we need to have Juan back on here. We can talk about being hospitable.
It. Yes.
Let's have it.
All right. Well, guys, we're thankful that you chose to tune in and listen to the episode today. If you've enjoyed the show, be sure to check us out at Facebook, Truth Revival 37385. And if you're hungry, go to Senor Lopez.
Yeah. And if you need a t-shirt, hit us up. We got some new ones.
Oh, we got some more swag?
We got some more swag, yeah.
All right. Well, for Juan Garcia and Paul Chapman, I'm Roman Hamilton. We're out of here.